Jacket.
Dr. Dre, where you at? Drop that beat, man.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Straight out of NOLA and ATL.
In case you forgot, it's always like a little stagnant. But let's have some fun with this, man. Of course, it's Talking Sports with the 12th man today. Man, it's kind of a post-Labor Day show, but we're always going to have some fun on this September 8th
Buck.
Day. And of course,
he
got to
squeeze that in,
man. He's ready to go. Little O-H-I-O is about to happen. So this is what
he's
we
not
do.
A homer.
Yes, sir.
I am. I respect that. I'm one too.
And we'll hear more about that, America. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man. Today is, as mentioned, September the 8th, Tuesday. And let's get started. I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by some awesome co-hosts, JQ, as well as Mr. Rob Ford. And I check in with my co-host, Mr. JQ, Jake Kwan. Jake, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I was up in Cincinnati for my high school reunion this weekend, and then I got to see the Reds and the Pirates on Monday, and my Buckeyes won on Monday night. Fabulous. How you doing, bro?
Man, fantastic. So, you know, JQ, we're going to let you – I know you're on adrenaline right now, man, so I'm sure you got a lot of things to say, man, so we'll definitely get you cranked up as well, sir. as well, my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you doing this evening, sir? You doing all right?
Man, couldn't be better, man. Ready to get this party started. Let's make it do what it do. In the words of Ray Charles.
In the words of do what it do. I love it, Rob, man. I'm excited, guys. I'm sorry. I know we got to get this party going, man. We got to throw out the shows and numbers and whatnot, and we'll jump into the topics because football is finally here, man. So exciting. So without further ado, let's throw out the numbers if you want to call into the show. Yes, 424-243-9519. That's the number. We are on the Twitter space. If you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in Twitter. And then finally, if you want to follow us on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports 12th Man, you will find us as well. So, fellas, a lot of topics to get into. Football, of course, is king. Let's do some quick previews as far as a couple of teams. And we'll jump into your favorite, Brady versus the NFL, and a lot of things to talk about, bowl predictions and everything. So, a lot of things to discuss. Let's kick it off the gate with the St. Louis Rams, their season preview. They made a lot of moves, getting rid of Sam Bradford, traded him to the Eagles, and they replaced him, obviously, with Nick Foles. They made a lot of moves, getting one of my favorite guys, Todd Gurley. What's the state? Is this kind of the make-it-break year for the St. Louis Rams guys, or is that division kind of too tough? I mean, obviously, now would be the time. There was Seattle with the 49ers, as well as the Cardinals. And Rob Porter, what do you think about the St. Louis's chances for this particular season, in the NFC West?
Well, I tell you, I think one of the more intriguing things is how soon will Todd Gurley be healthy to play? It looks like he's all but out the first two games of the season for sure. And at what point is he going to be close to being 100% after coming back from the major off-season surgery? So I think that's going to be key. I think most of the offseason, I think all three of us thought the Rams won the trade, Nick Foles for Sam Bradford. But, you know, if you base it on the preseason, Bradford has looked a lot better than Foles. I think it's still yet to be determined if Bradford can stay healthy a complete season. So I guess we can't say for sure that the Eagles might be the winner in that trade. I think this is a team that obviously you're going to have to win with defense. I think they still have one of the better front fours in the game, solid secondary as well. I think it's going to come down to how quickly they can get Todd Gurley healthy. I like Brian Quick. He's a rising receiver. I still think at best they're still an average football team, so I'm going to go 8-8 for a record here. Kenny Britt, you know, can he become the weapon he once was a couple of years ago? They did acquire him. They do get Fairley. from the Lions at the defensive tackle, add to already strong defensive line. But you lose Jake Long along the offensive line as well, so that has to be a slight concern. I'm going to go 8-8.
Very nice. JQ,
third place in the NFC West.
Third place. All right.
Yeah.
JQ, what are your thoughts about that? Yeah, good.
I know. I agree with that. I would say 7-9. The question mark to have for them is Gurley fully back? He might be well enough to play, but is he 100% Gurley or is he 75% Gurley? And I think you might need more time for him to be the guy that he needs to be. And Nick Foles not looking good. The offensive line is pretty shaky. He's had glimpses, but I worry about their outside perimeter threats because I heard you talk about Quick, but he's still unproven. I think you know what you're getting in Kenny Britton. That's no more than the second or third wide receiver. And I think they want Tavon to be that number one, but I don't think he's quite ready for it yet. So, you know, I like Cook at tight end, but I think they're going to have to play enough defense to keep them in games. They can steal a couple games, but I think Jeff Fisher may be done after this year because I see them going 7-9.
Wow. Really? Why do you say that, sir?
Well, I think he's just had too many average years in a row. And at some point, you know, when you come in with all that fanfare and the track record, then they want to see results. And they stand in that 7-9, 8-8 kind of purgatory where he's not advancing them. So if you keep doing that for too many years, unless you coach in Cincinnati, you're going to get fired.
Well, Cincinnati's at least making the playoffs. The Rams not even making the, Rams not even making the playoffs. So I can definitely see that point. With Jeff Fisher, yeah, they hadn't even made the playoffs since he'd been there, so I would definitely agree with that. If he doesn't win this season, he can definitely be out.
You know, guys, I think they're riding on the deal that they gave to Nick Foles in 2 years. I think they're going to give him one more year because first year almost doesn't count because of what happened with Sam Bradford. He got whenever Jeff Fisher got there, Sam Bradford gets hurt, so that's kind of like a wash for him, I think, which is tough. And obviously, not to say you want to put all your hopes on Sam Bradford. He just hasn't really been that healthy. So that's why they got rid of him, made the trade now. But hopefully, he's like, hey, give me two more years of Nick Foles and see what happens. I think after next year or the next year after, if he doesn't do it, I think that's more of a kind of writing on the wall. But that's just me. I think they may give him 2 years, honestly. But, you know, obviously, we'll see what happens for sure. I agree with you, Rob, that they're probably kind of on the 8-8 cusp right now, too. But, you know, obviously, the future is bright. They got a lot of explosive weapons, and the defense is a little solid, but they still are going to be a little mediocre, if you will.
Yeah, they're wasting a lot of good defensive talent with that average offense right now, though.
Yeah,
they are.
Tough, man. That's why, yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I know we'll see what happens if they get that quarterback play secured. You know, Todd Gurley may be a year too late, but we'll see if they got enough. Kind of at least get it going too. Like you said, Rob, depends on how healthy Todd Gurley is coming into the season. Let's talk about the next team in the division, the Arizona Cardinals. I like what Bruce Arians has been doing, guys, with that team. You know, obviously making the trade for Carson Palmer. Of course, he got hurt last year. But this is a team that looks to be like on the uptick. So, JQ, what are your thoughts about the Cardinals there, sir?
My biggest concern about the Cardinals is how does Todd Bowles going to New York affect that defense because they were playing and they had, I agree with you, they had a defense that was on the rise and he had them attacking. Mm-hmm. Are they going to keep that same scheme with the new coordinator? Are they going to go to something else? Are you going to have a learning curve with the defense used to playing one style and then switch it to another? So I have some concerns about the Cardinals. I have concerns about Palmer's knee. I think when he plays, he directs that team and they're in every game and they give Seattle fits. And it gave San Francisco fits as well when San Francisco was actually going to be good. I like John Brown. I like Michael Floyd and Fitzgerald. That threesome is pretty decent. The tight ends aren't that great, but you don't have to be when you can go three wide with those. And if they can keep Ellington upright. So, again, that NFC West, I think, is going to be a dogfight. I can see them being 9-7, maybe 10-6, but somewhere in there.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Rob, looks like Cardinals made a lot of moves, you know, in the offseason. They got one of the first female coaches. That's kind of a little side note there. But they also picked up Chris Johnson. They made some interesting moves, Rob. So what do you think about the future for the Arizona Cardinals this year?
Yeah, I also like a very unknown running back they have there, David Johnson from Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
I think a sleeper guy. They get Mike Iupati from the 49ers, improved the offensive line a little bit in the interior area. They went out and got Sean Weatherspoon, Lamar Woodley. They had a little bit of depth if they're healthy at the linebacker position. You lose Antonio Cromartie, so that's I think that's a big loss. Although they're still going to have a very solid secondary. And I agree with JQ as well. That was one of my concerns. Todd Bowles was one of the most aggressive defensive coordinators in the league. He led the league in the most blitzes last season, but he had great corners that he can blitz with. You know, so he was able to, you know, have that kind of attacking scheme. But I still like this team. I think they're still a notch below Seattle. And I think we got to keep in mind when Carson Palmer was healthy last season, this team had the best record in the NFL. I think they were 9-1, 10-1, maybe even 11-1. They had the best record for most of the season until they started getting injured at the quarterback position. They were down to their third-string QB by the time they got to the playoffs. So, I mean, Carson Palmer is not a top-five quarterback, but he was adequate enough with this team to keep them near the, you know, the top. But I still think they're second place in the division. I'm going to go 10-6. They'll be behind Seattle still.
Yes, sir. I agree with you on that front, too. I think we've got the kind of – we set the stage. They're probably going to have Seattle, Arizona, St. Louis, and then finally wrap it up with the 49ers, too. My little point, too, they make a trade or they pick up Matt Barkley, if you will, see how he does, because they had no quarterback play once Carson Palmer went down. I don't know if that's enough if anything happens again, but I do like what you said, Rob, about David Johnson. That's a great call. They got some the Larry Fitzgerald still doing his thing and John Brown and Michael Floyd, too. So they got some weapons, if you will, sir, as well. Anything you want to add to that to JQ before we move on, sir?
Oh, no, and I think they got the weapons. If you notice, Carson Palmer does not want to dink and dunk. He wants to go down the field, and that's what Bruce Arians wants to do. So another sleeper on that team, I think people know about him now, is John Brown. I think he may not have a ton of grabs, but I think all his grabs are going to be big, meaningful grabs. He's now his Chris Henry, if you will. And I think he might end up having a double-digit touchdown season but not have 100 catches, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's all good. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
So they're going to get challenged. They're going to get challenged at the gate. They're playing Rob's New Orleans Saints coming out the gate. So we'll keep an eye on that too as well, Rob. So you'll get a good first glimpse as far as how the Cardinals are going to do coming out the gate, sir.
Absolutely.
Next thing we're going to focus on is the Pittsburgh Steelers, guys. They've made some changes, Rob. They've lost Dick LeBeau. He's moved on to the Tennessee Titans. But looks like that offense is, you know, it's been a change. They've been used to more of being that ground attack. But looks like they've been opening up the offense with Todd Haley. They've been throwing it around a lot. Ben Roethlisberger doing his thing. Antonio Brown. Man, it's been a shift. Do they have enough defensively is the question. They've lost Troy Polamalu. He's retired. Lost a couple other players. What do you think about the possibility of the what's happening with that division, Rob, with the AFC North, if you will?
Well, I think offensively they have a chance to be very, very good once they get these guys back from suspension. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger. I think Heath Miller is still a solid tight end as well. They get the other receiver back from suspension. I think Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton. I think this team's got a lot of weapons to really put up a lot of points once they have their full arsenal. You know, back in play here. I think the offensive line has improved. They're going to be young on defense. So, I mean, the last couple of years they were starting to get old and they've gotten younger now on defense. I think the defense is going to take a little while, but I think by the end of the season they'll be, I think, a better defense. I'm going to say they're somewhere in that 9-7, 10-6 bracket. I think they're still second place behind the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC North, but I think they're a playoff team.
Oh, Rob threw JQ a bone. JQ, in your backyard, you heard me say that. What about this, Rob? What about this, JQ? What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I appreciate it, Rob, but Andy Dalton makes me nervous, so I can't bank on anything that involves him leading the team. But I agree with you on all the points. The one thing that I think may hurt them is losing Pouncey to the ankle injury. And I have him on my bill, and that might make it harder for them to move the ball initially. They may have to just go to a pure air attack with Roethlisberger and Brown and Wheaton. And another sleeper, with Martavis Bryant gone, I think the Steelers got a steal getting Sammy Coates. I think the third round of the draft. He might be somebody that comes in and plays that third wide receiver and really makes them that much more explosive. Agree about Heath Miller and agree about the defense. You know, they turned it over. I think they're going to have to win more shootouts than they normally did, especially with the running game being hurt to start the season without Bell. So, again, I would say the same thing, 9-7, because they also play the AFC West and the NFC West. And they've got six tough games there outside of the games they have in the division that are going to be tough. So I think the winner of the AFC North, probably they may win it with 9-7.
Okay. Fair enough. And just to let you guys know, sometimes I just like to stir the pot, man. So sometimes I like to go against Rob Says, man, just because I think it's kind of fun, man. So that's my
thing. I hate to have to talk about them. I hate to have to talk good about them. I do. But they're gonna have an air raid attack, though. They're gonna have an air raid attack. They're gonna put on some points on some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be a very interesting move. Let's switch gears and talk about the NFC South with the Carolina Panthers. They had a rough offseason losing. Preseason losing Kelvin Benjamin, that was a huge blow. You know, obviously they lost Steve Smith Sr. the year before, and Cam Newton's been making a lot of headlines because he's getting mad, you know, chasing out a player in practice for a simple interception. I don't know. Hopefully he's going to mature this year. But let's talk about the Panthers. That defense has always been pretty solid. And I guess we're talking about people that may be on the hot seat. Is that Ron Rivera? Rob, what do you think about what's happening with the Carolina Panthers in our own division?
Well, I'll tell you what. Last week, I made a prediction that my very own Saints would win the NFC South at 9-7. I'm actually going to change my prediction. I'm actually going to predict the Carolina Panthers will win the NFC South. As much as I want my Saints to win the division, I think the Saints, you know, have some injuries in the secondary right now. It's really hurting them, and there's a real concern for the Saints as far as pass rush and secondary right now. I think they'll be able to stop the run, but I think they'll be horrible covering the pass, and the Saints will have to win a lot of shootouts. I think when I really went back to analyzing this division, I think Carolina still got the most stout defense of any team in the division. Even with losing Kelvin Benjamin, I think Cam Newton will do enough. They'll play enough ball control offense, and I like the Carolina Panthers to win the NFC South. I'm going to go 10-6 with the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they're expecting a couple of rookies coming to play right away, Shaq Thompson, Devin Funchess, and so I'm going to go with them and Ron Rivera and having the best defense in the division. I think the Saints and the Falcons will still struggle defensively. Both of those teams were 31st and 32nd in the league, respectively, in defense last year. So I got to go with the Panthers.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That sounds like a bold prediction right there. All right, Rob. Today is the 8th. I'm going to make a note about what you said about the Panthers.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong and it's saying somehow winning, but I'm just, you know, trying to be objective here.
Okay, JQ, man, I'm going to throw the interesting ball to you about this one. So, yeah, go ahead, sir. What are your thoughts about Rob said?
Well, selfishly, if that happens, that means that a couple of Buckeyes would have came and played for Carolina and Ted Ginn and Philly Brown. But, and depending on Funchess, I don't. Losing Kelvin Benjamin was a huge blow to this Carolina team. I mean, if you double-team Greg Olsen, and play single everywhere else, you can spy Cam Newton, and I think that's what teams are going to do. 8-8 might win that division. I'm going to put them at 8-8.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if Rob's been hanging out in Denver too long, but, you know, we'll keep an eye on that.
Smoke weed every day.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, I know we've got a lot of things to prove, which, you know, I think that's an objective, very fair enough statement, Rob. You know, I'll even take the Saints over that, but I just don't think – I don't know. I mean, like I said, they have a good defense. I just do wonder if they're going to struggle offensively, you know, losing Kelvin Benjamin, just like JQ said, man. But, you know, I don't know. I still got him third. I think, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, like I said, you know, it's still too much to call right now because we're still – a lot of things have been happening in the offseason for both the Falcons as well as the Saints. Whew! All right. Speaking of that – let's kick it right into the top five teams into the NFL going into week number one. I'm sure we may have some similar teams in the top five. Let's kick it off, Rob, with your top five, kicking it off into the season going into week one, sir.
I'm going to count down from five to one. I'm going to go at number five, the New England Patriots. I moved them back up slightly, but they're still concerned for their secondary. We'll see how much Bill Belichick will be able to cover up, losing his two starting corners from last season. And a little bit of what I saw of them in the preseason, they were struggling at the corner position. So we'll see how well Belichick can cover that up. But I think offensively they'll still be fine. They'll still put up a lot of points. I have them at the number five position. Number four, I have Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, even though they lost Jordy Nelson, I'm sorry. I think they'll still be very explosive offensively, especially with having Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy and still having Randall Cobb and some other weapons offensively. I think they'll still score a lot of points. Three and two, that's the two that I kind of wrestle with. But right now I'm going to go with Indy at three and Denver at two. Those are kind of two I kind of wrestle with. The reason why I put Denver slightly ahead of Indy, I just thought about from a defensive aspect. I think Denver will be better defensively than Indy. I think both teams obviously will be explosive offensively and is going to score a lot of points. But when I really analyze it, I just think Denver is just going to be better defensively than the Colts. So I kind of moved them ahead of the Colts. And number one, I'm still going to go with the Seahawks and Pete Carroll. I know he's still got Cam Cancel out there and see what's going to happen with that. But I think when you look at their overall roster, they still probably have the most talent of any team in the league. Obviously, you get Jimmy Graham who's going to help them in the red zone there. You still have Marshawn Lynch. And defensively, they're still loaded.
JQ, let's give your top five, sir.
Well, I'm going to shock you right off the bat. I'm not going to do it in particular order, but I'm not going to put Seattle in the top five going into week one. And the reason is what he just touched on. No Cam. Earl Thomas has not even been taking contact. He's been hurt, and Richard Sherman is still hurt. So until I see them play and play at the level that they need to play at for them to be in this top five, I'm going to put them at six. How about that? So my top five would be Green Bay out of the NFC, and then I would go with the AFC. I would go with Denver. I would go with Indianapolis. I would go with New England. And I would go with Pittsburgh.
Wow. Okay. How you like me now, America? That's what JQ decides to go down with. All right. You know, hey, I'm not mad. That's good, man. I'm gonna go kind of opposite.
Saying Pittsburgh upset you would just got to be as hard as me picking Carolina over the Saints.
Yeah, man. I have to say that out loud.
Oh man, JQ, we're not gonna make you pose in a jersey or anything like that. But you're good.
Let's
keep this moving here. Make him lose a bet or something like that. All right.
I won't bet that.
You ain't betting that. You're getting out of that. Fellas, I'm going to say I think that, one of my – this is a shout-out to the Marines for one of my buddies, Nick Alifi, and he said it best. He's like, I think that Tom Brady has, the cheat code for life, man. You know, up, up, down, down, left, right, man. The Joker, he messed around. Whatever. You can add that, too. He messes around and something happens, and Bridget Monnier, then he messes around and gets with Giselle. Then Joker wins four Super Bowls. Then he fights – Deflategate wins. That's why I got New England number one, because them Jokers won the Super Bowl, right? That's the reason why. So I got the number one. Not that I'm a huge whatever fan, but that's, they are the Super Bowl champions. They got to have number one. Number two, I've got Seattle, because obviously that was a good matchup. Number three, I'm with you, Rob. I got Green Bay right at the third spot. Everyone is a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers doing his thing. Four, I've got the Denver Broncos, as both of you guys have said. Right now, defense is a little bit solid. Peyton's kind of getting into the twilight of his career, obviously. I think he has just enough to kind of keep them where they are. And I do love the Colts' love. I love Andrew Luck. I love the moves they made this offseason, getting rid of the bust in Trent Richardson and getting a solid pickup in Frank Gore, adding Andre Johnson. They got T.Y. Hilton. They get Philip Dorsett, from Miami. They have the makings, guys, of a very scary team, and I kind of think that I would rate them even higher right now, but just because of that dynamic with Denver, This is a great, I think they're in the top five for sure. So I expect a lot of moves for Andrew Luck and the Colts.
So we were pretty much the same. I Seattle outside of Pittsburgh. So it's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. I like it, man. Like you said, it should be interesting because, you know, like you said, they don't have Cam. They don't have, you know, right now, and there's some challenges with Richard Sherman. But, you know, right now, until they somebody proves them wrong, we'll kind of keep them in the top five. Go ahead, JK.
And Earl Thomas. And Earl Thomas.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's got to hope
that.
That's
a blow.
Got to catch him early.
Yeah, like you said, do catch him early. Yeah, for sure. I got to look at what they have coming out in that standings, too, as well. But, you know, like I said, right now they're still the defending NFC champions. So like I said, we'll see if somebody can knock them out for sure. All right, they're starting off with the Rams. That's going to be a very interesting test right out the gate, guys, as well. All right, got about 5 minutes left in the show, guys. 4 minutes, excuse me. Let's talk about Brady versus NFL. I know we're probably sick of this. He won. Rob, finish this up really quickly because I know JQ is over it just like me. Go ahead, Rob. Talk about this real
yeah,
quick.
Well, I'm kind of over too, but you know, I guess it is still a story we got to cover. You know, it's in the news. You know, nothing new here in this situation. It's kind of what we've been saying all along. It just wasn't. Roger Goodell was very horrible in presenting the case in this situation. And I'm going to say it again. I said it, you know, maybe one day people start believing me. He's still the worst commissioner in professional sports, the way he handles his business, the way he goes about his business. And it just goes to show you, every time he makes a ruling on something, the judges come behind him and overturn it. And, you know, it happened with the players with the Saints bounty case. And if the coaches had a union, that would have got overturned too. And it happened with this particular case as well. And so every time you judges come right behind him and they overturn everything he decides on. And he's got his own justice system, you know, which is different from the American justice system, and that's what I don't like.
Roger Goodell's unwilling to give up his power, too. That seems like the case, too. JQ, talk about that. You want to talk about that really quickly as well?
Nope, Rob can have it.
Well, I'll just make one point on that, and we can move on. I know the owners are in discussion right now about the type of power that he's going to continue to have. So they're not thinking about removing him as commissioner, but they are looking at relinquishing a lot of his power that he has on these disciplinary decisions.
All righty then, JQ, I'm right there with you, sir. I don't want to even speak on this, man. So we're going to let Rob have that. I bet two things.
Yep.
All right, we got about 2 minutes and about 15 seconds here. Rob, let's go ahead and set up the OT portion, and we'll talk about giving that one bold NFL prediction as we get ready to go into the OT portion of the show. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you guys don't want to miss our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion live, but we still have our very own playoff and Super Bowl predictions. You don't want to miss that. We still got some college football we need to recap from this weekend. We got some predictions. NFL games this weekend and college football. We got all the big games. We're going to make our own predictions as we've done in years past. So we got that coming up in our OT portion. So you don't want to miss that. And so we still got a lot more football to talk about. We got Serena Williams. We might even squeeze in a little NBA training camp about a month away as well. So you don't want to miss this OT portion. Click on the same link on tomorrow and you'll get all of this exciting stuff that we have, predictions and everything else. You don't want to miss it.
Can anyone beat Ohio State, JQ? We're going to talk about that.
Hey, man, all I was going to say was spin move. Circle button.
Circle button. Madden.
Nasty.
That was a video game move. That was a video game move. Man. All right, guys. As always, we got about a minute. We want to thank everyone for, once again, listening to the first part. Yeah, as Rob said, don't forget to listen to us for the OT portion. JK, you want to have I'm going to give you this last couple of 40-something seconds. You want to talk about anything before we get ready? What's the OT portion, sir?
I just want to say that game was awesome yesterday, and I'm so glad they won because I got some Virginia Tech fans that I know, and that would have been hard dealing with them. So thank you, Ohio State, for making my life better. Go Bucks. Stay classy, San Diego.
Oh, I love it. JQ was living off the bat. That was a tough game. I know he got a little scared for the first – first couple of the first half there, but
I was upset. I was mad. I was upset.
Well, like I said, they have some young receivers. They were dropping a lot of passes, but if they made those catches, it would have been a little different story. But it is what it is. All right, fellas, let's jump into the OT portion of America. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Yeah.
And OT has officially started. Let's talk about those bold predictions for the NFL. Rob, kick us off, sir. Your one bold prediction, and it better not be about Roger Goodell.
I wish he was fired, but no. My one bold prediction may not be anything. My one bold prediction may not be anything major, but I kind of briefed on it a little bit early in the show. Daniel Johnson, a little known running back from Northern Iowa, will lead the Arizona Cardinals in. He will lead the Arizona Cardinals in rushing this year, over Andre Ellington, over Chris Johnson. He'll be the leading rusher. That's my one bold prediction.
JQ, you got anything for bold predictions?
I do, and I'm going to go out on a limb with this one, and I know I'm going to make my co-hosts upset, both of them. But I think Tampa Bay goes 8-8 and wins the NFC South.
Wow, that's a bold prediction.
I do. And the NFC South always has topsy-turvy to the year, 1 year to the next, where the bottom feeder comes up and wins, and they go back down and come up and win. It may be their turn. I'm just going to go with the stats. And I think that dude is just a winner, and he's got a lot of weapons. So in a division that's there to be won for all the teams that we've talked about. So I think it could happen. I could be wrong. Probably will be. But that's my bold prediction.
All right.
That's why it's a bold prediction. I mean, I would say that, JQ, if both Matt Ryan and Drew Brees got hurt, man, and Cam Newton, that would happen, man. But that's a whole other conversation right there, man. I'm knocking on some wood, too.
I don't want nobody getting hurt.
we don't want anybody getting hurt. Let's see here. My bold prediction, this is another one. I'm going to go on the limb, guys, and say that Oakland Raiders are gonna surprise some teams this year, guys. I don't know what it is. I just kind of like makeup. Yeah. So I didn't mean to steal your thunder there, JQ, but Amari Toomer, Cooper, excuse me, man. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know why I keep saying that. I think he's going to make some progress. Yeah, I know. I'm old. But I just like the Raiders, man. I think they're going to do some things. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, be war beaters, but I think they're going to compete, guys. And, you know, back to black, man, they're going to do some things, man. So that's my bold prediction. How about that?
All right.
Good one.
And what do we think about just not really bold predictions, but I'm going to say, do you guys think that RG3 will be playing on the Redskins this year? What do you think?
Yes, because I think Kirk Cousins is going to get hit and get hurt.
Okay.
Absolutely. He's going to get in the games. He's going to play in some games at some point. I think he's going to even start some games. Absolutely.
Okay. Good call.
Not saying he's going to be great, but he's going to start some games.
Right. He's going to play.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough, guys. I do want to get to a couple games, and I want to let JQ get his point about Ohio State really quickly. Rob, if it's okay, I want to talk about really briefly. I want you to go over playoff and Super Bowl predictions. I'll let you get into JQ as well, but we want to be pretty brief. I want to get enough time here for these last couple of topics here. So go ahead and set the stage really quick, Rob, if you don't mind.
Yeah, really quick. My playoff teams: AFC. Denver, Indy, New England, Cincy, Miami, Pittsburgh, in that order, 1-6. NFC, Seattle, Green Bay, Dallas, Carolina, Arizona, Philadelphia, in that order, 1-6. Super Bowl, repeat from 2 years ago, Denver, Seattle, with Seattle winning it.
Wow. I like Green Bay for that.
Wow.
But, that's just me. That's my different. Go ahead, JQ. You want to add to that really quickly?
You know what? That's actually a pretty good 6-6. I can't really quibble with that. I might put Minnesota in over Arizona, just depending on how things fall out. But outside of that, I think that's pretty good. And I think it's a toss-up. It's going to end up being a toss-up between Green Bay and Seattle. In the AFC, I'm going to go with goddamn Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with Green Bay to win it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's talk about this week one is right around the corner tomorrow. Two days is what I meant to say. Kicks it off, man. The Steelers at the Patriots. Fellas, what do you think about this? Here we've got right out the gate. I'm sure Roger Goodell wanted that. Yeah, what's going to happen, guys? Steelers, Patriots, what are your thoughts? What are your predictions? You may give a slight edge to the Patriots being at home, but what do you think about this one, Rob, coming right out the gate, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to make it quick and brief. Obviously, the Steelers are going to have a few guys suspended in this game. They're on the road. New England's getting the celebration. I like New England at home, even with the weak cornerback situation going against those weapons of the Steelers. I like the Steelers. I like the Patriots in this game by at least 7 points.
JQ?
I agree. And I know I just picked Pittsburgh, but I think they're going to do one of those runs again. And to the point he made, without Bell and without Bryant, I think they keep it close. I think they keep it close and they lose by 7. But I think New England wins. I think Tom Brady and them have a major point to prove.
Yep. I think it's gonna be a pretty good scoring game. Indy at Buffalo. I'm gonna jump on this one really quickly. Even though it's a road game, I like the Colts. I think the Colts are gonna come out and kind of set the stage. This is just me. I know LeSean McCoy was a little hurt. Tyrod Taylor's getting his first start, guys. He may be a little shaky. That's my prediction coming out of the gate. What do you think about that, JQ?
I agree. Indy in a close one by 3.
Rob, what do you think about this one, sir?
Like the same reasons you said, Andre. I like Indy on the road. Tyrod Taylor, making his first NFL regular season start. I think that's going to be rough trying to keep up with the Colts, even with that Bills defense. I like the Colts.
Detroit at San Diego. Phillip Rivers gets that huge extension. This is going to be an interesting game. Rob, I throw the difficult games to Rob. How you like that? What do you think about this?
I like San Diego at home in this one. I think this is a close matchup, though. I can see it being like a 3-7 point type of victory here. I like San Diego. I think they're a solid football team. Not great, solid, but I like them at home.
Okay, good call. What do you think about that, JQ?
I'm going to take the road team. I'm going to go over to Detroit, and I'm going to say that Golden Tate and Amir Abdul will have big games at San Diego, and Detroit wins by 10.
Whoa. I don't know about all that, JQ. I like San Diego, but good call. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on that as well. We're keeping track of this as well. Baltimore at Denver, pretty interesting that Gary Kubiak and, kind of reunites here. Right now, there's a lot of things in the offseason for Baltimore. I always give the edge to home teams in certain situations too, so I'm going to go with Denver for this particular matchup. JQ, let's kind of kick it off with you. What do you think about this particular matchup as well, sir?
Low-scoring game, Denver by 5.
Rob Ford.
I like Denver in this matchup at home. I think it's going to be tough for Baltimore to keep up with them scoring, even though I think the defense can keep it close a little bit. But I like Denver at least by 7 to 10 points.
Serena, show some love for some tennis. Will she complete the slam sweep? I'm going to say yes. That's just really brief.
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
JQ?
Absolutely.
There it is.
Yeah, exactly.
SEC.
Unless she breaks an ankle.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave that alone. The SEC sets the record with 10 teams, guys, as we kind of switch to college football here, in the top 25. I don't think that's totally a surprise in certain instances. I know JQ may have something to say about that, but I wanted to comment on this really, really as well, Rob.
Well, really quick, it just shows the depth of the conference. I think we've all known that. I think top to bottom, though, they're probably still the best conference top to bottom. There are obviously some teams like Ohio State, I think, that is maybe the best team in the country. But I think overall, top to bottom, the conference just has a lot of depth. And I think they showed it this weekend, this past weekend. 10 teams, Texas A&M was very impressive at getting into the top 25, beating Arizona State, too.
Your thoughts, JQ?
I don't have anything to quibble with it because if you look at it, the Big 12 is top-heavy with Baylor and TCU, and then not a whole lot behind it. The Big 10 is top-heavy with Ohio State and Michigan State, not a whole lot behind it. Same with the ACC, if you want to throw Clemson in there, and Georgia Tech. They don't have the same depth. Florida State, sorry.
Yeah.
They don't have the same,
oh.
they don't have the same depth as the SEC. So somebody's got to fill that void to fill out the top 25. So I'm not surprised with that many SEC teams.
And they'll beat up on each other a little bit, and that'll fizzle out a little bit once they get in the conference play a little bit.
Got about 6 minutes here. Guys, so will Ohio State, this is it. Who and can anybody beat Ohio State this season? So really quickly, JQ, your only challenge, honestly, right now, looks like number 5, Michigan State, and that's November the 21st. You know, Michigan got out the gates kind of slow, but Lord have mercy. You guys have it set up again. So after yesterday's game, go ahead, JQ. Go ahead and do your thing over here.
So I'm going to answer the question. There are two teams that I think can beat Ohio State this year. You just named one of them, and Michigan State. You can see in that game when a quarterback can get hot on them and give them fits. And I think if they hadn't knocked Brewer out of that game, that would have been a lot closer game. I think Ohio State still wins, but it would have been a lot closer game. So having Connor Cook at Michigan State, I think, is going to be one of their biggest challenges. You know, you could say Michigan because it's a rivalry game, but they just have too much talent. They're too cohesive right now. And the second team is Ohio State. You know, they have so much talent on the offensive and defensive side of the ball that they can lose a game if they go out there and have a four quarters like they have for the first half where they had turnovers and miscues. If they do that and beat themselves, that could happen. But if they don't do that, the only team that can beat them is Michigan State, I believe, until they get to a playoff, of course.
Rob Ford.
Connor Cook obviously is an NFL pro prospect. He could be a top 5, top 10 pick, but I don't think Michigan State has the other weapons to compete with Ohio State. So I don't see a team beating them. I don't see a team as of right now being able to beat them. I just don't see it right now. I just don't see a team that has that kind of depth and those kind of weapons. And, you know, it don't matter. I mean, they loaded at the quarterback position. So I don't see it at the moment.
It's going to be tough. If Braxton Miller is going to run like that, I'm just saying that spin move was something that we haven't seen in a long time and for real play. That was nasty. And, and if they're going to get – you got to remember, they didn't even have three of the other wide receivers in that game because they were suspended. And they're going to get those dudes back. So they might –
they get
both of
back, too. So.
And they get both of back, exactly. They might put 75 on Hawaii.
Wow. Interesting. Whoo! 3 minutes, fellas. Really quickly, Rob – give you some time to talk about USC's Josh Rosen, the next Troy Aikman. What do you think about that, sir? Is that your prediction, or that's kind of what they're saying out of the field?
Well, you know, it's just a question. People are asking, is he the next Troy Aikman? I think it's still too early to tell. I think as a true freshman, very impressive. I did see a good bit of that game against Virginia. Obviously, I want to see him play against a little bit more of a tougher competition. But UCLA – I would think that the teams that impressed me the most this past weekend, UCLA was one of them. Obviously, Ohio State was one of them. I was very impressed with Alabama, as much as I hate to say that, and Derrick Henry. And I was also impressed with Texas A&M. I mean, those are four teams that I got a chance to see this past weekend that I was very impressed with, and UCLA and Rosen was definitely one of them.
Quick prediction. Number 7, Oregon at number 5, Michigan State. What do you think about what are your thoughts on this game, Rob? I'll let you go this and then I'll finish up JQ.
I'm going to go with Michigan State. I wasn't very impressed with Vernon Adams at the quarterback position for Oregon this past weekend. I like Michigan State in this game at home.
JQ?
Michigan State on the revenge at home. You saw Ohio State get theirs. Michigan State gets theirs on Saturday.
Rob, LSU at Mississippi State.
LSU cupcake game against McNeese State was canceled this past weekend due to lightning. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think they would have liked to have at least played the game and get something going, but I still think they're going to be too talented for Mississippi State, even going on the road.
JQ?
Well, I'm going to take Mississippi State at home. They got a quarterback at LSU doesn't.
Uh-oh.
They have a quarterback at LSU doesn't.
Mississippi State lost a lot of talent.
They still got a quarterback.
Here we go. Love you. Awesome night, guys. Rob, let's go ahead and end this as we get ready to end the show once again for this week. Go ahead, sir. Got a minute.
We'll be back on next Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you all tuning in. Obviously, more football, and more football next week. So you don't want to miss the show. We'll recap week 2 of college football, recap week 1, and get you set for week two of the NFL and week three of college football, so you don't want to miss our show on next Tuesday. Good night, people.
JQ?
Yeah, good night. I got to make sure Rob's still going to talk to me since I picked Mississippi State. But appreciate y'all joining
me.
Talk to you next week.
We'll see what happens.
Oh,
you said,
gosh.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
We'll see what happens Saturday night. Hey, if Mississippi State wins, I'll be the first to tell you you were right.